This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Sharmila Gunnison and Sumitra Selvaraj. And on to our second story.
Well, we're having a poll on social media about it, actually.
Yeah, we're asking you, must a film contain Bahasa Malaysia for it to be considered a Malaysian movie? And of course, at the moment, 79% of you say, no, it doesn't need Bahasa Malaysia. Well, 21% of you say, yes, it needs to have Bahasa Malaysia. Why are we asking everybody this question?
So we're asking this because I became very interested about the idea of language in film, right? Mm. The Academy Awards stirred up some controversy recently when they disqualified a Nigerian movie called Lionheart from the Best International Feature Film category for the 2020 Awards. And the reason for the disqualification? The movie is predominantly in English. But here's the thing, Nigeria's official language is English.
And the movie's been getting some great reviews in Nigeria and in film festivals around the world, right? If you haven't heard about this movie yet, it tells a story of a family business and a daughter who tries to save it after her father is forced to step down for health reasons. It stars A-list Nigerian actors such as Pete Idioche, Nkem Owo, and Genevieve Nanji. Nanji is also the director of the movie, and it is her directorial debut. Lionheart was Nigeria's official entry for the Best International Feature Film, and it's also the first time, Nigeria has submitted an entry.
So in its statement of disqualification, the Oscars Academy noted that Lionheart only had 11 minutes of non-English dialogue, which doesn't fit into the current criteria the awards have for the Best International Feature Film category.
So interestingly, right, this category of Best International Feature Film itself is new. Previously, it was known as Best Foreign Language Film. But the Academy decided to change the name because it felt regressive. Mm-hmm. So in a statement on the Oscars website, they said, "We believe that international feature film better represents this category and promotes a positive and inclusive view of filmmaking and the art of film as a universal experience."
I've gotten woke, I suppose.
Very woke.
But despite that name change, the rules of the awards are the same, and those are only one film can be submitted per country, it must be produced outside of the United States, and it must feature a predominantly non-English dialogue track. Mm. And from the Academy's statement, it seems unlikely that the rules will change either. They said that the intent of the award remains the same, to recognize accomplishment in films created outside of the United States in languages other than English.
So that brings us to the question of whether language is really the way to define what makes a national cinema.
Yeah.
Especially when, firstly, when you think of something like the Oscars, essentially the movie is representing its country, right?
Yes.
And the film, the country gets to select one film to represent it that year. And especially when, because of many historical complexities, and particularly when you look at the legacy of British colonization on most of the world, many countries and cultures do communicate in various versions of English.
Yep.
So Lionheart, for instance, is in what they call Nigerian English, but English nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
And it places these countries at a disadvantage when it comes to this category. In a way that countries that might have a French-speaking legacy, for example, they wouldn't be excluded.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Lionheart director Genevieve Nanji refers to exactly that in a Twitter thread in this issue, right? So she said, "This movie represents the way we speak as Nigerians. This includes English, which acts as a bridge between the 500 plus languages spoken in our country, thereby making us hashtag One Nigeria.
Mm.
It's no different to how French connects communities in formerly French colonies. We did not choose who colonized us. As ever, this film and many like it are proudly Nigerian."
Mm. And what this language rule for the international film category does is it enforces a really narrow view of what international means.
Definitely.
Yeah, and it also glosses over these, such diverse and different language traditions around the world. Furthermore, it adds unfairness to a category that's already pretty unfair. You know, more often than not, historically, this category has been won by European films. I mean, firstly, most of Europe doesn't speak English. 83% of the time, the movie that has won the Best Foreign Film category before this has been European.
And just to put that into context, here are some countries where English is the national language. So there's Botswana, Fiji, Ghana, Kenya, Mauritius, Sierra Leone, Singapore, Uganda, Vanuatu, and even Zimbabwe.
So this question of language is something that we grapple with even here in Malaysia, right? If you remember back in 2016, we had a bit of a kerfuffle when local Tamil language film Jagat and multilingual movie Ola Bola initially didn't make the cut for the Malaysian Film Festival's main awards, just because they didn't meet the requirement that the movies be at 70% in Bahasa Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Then after much criticism, and rightly deserved criticism as well, the decision was overturned and the 70% BM requirement was overturned. Instead, a best film in the national language category was introduced. Then in 2017, it was announced that a new encompassing category called best film will replace both those categories. Mm.
So I assume what that means is now all the films made in Malaysia will compete on an even playing ground,
irrespective of language content.
So to hear from someone who works in the local filmmaking industry, we spoke earlier today to independent filmmaker Nadira Ilana. We started off by asking her what she thought of defining a country's national cinema based on language.
I'm not entirely sure how many festivals have had to hear about that, but the thing is, just like, to be honest, that's why the Oscars is not really on the top of my priority list, because of the foreign films category. I think that a lot of people don't even understand what that's really about, because so the kind of a way that it works is that the film councils from each country is required to sort of nominate a particular film to represent the nation, and then that film goes on to try to campaign for the Oscars into a best foreign film category. And usually the criteria is that the film has to be of the national language of that country. And that becomes a bit of a prickly thing, because firstly, I see a double standard that's there, because the thing is, just like, when it comes to cultural appropriation, it's okay if Leonardo DiCaprio does a bad Afrikaans accent, you know, for Blood Diamond and then gets a nomination for Best Actor. But then at the same time, we're also seeing that like certain films are being sort of disqualified, foreign films are being disqualified from this category because they're speaking in the English language. And English, as we know, I mean, it's just spoken by people all over the world. And it's kind of no wonder that, you know, whenever like a brown person like me, you know, would go to a Western country and they're, you know, astounded basically that, hey, why is your English so good? Well, I guess because you colonized us so good. You know, so does a language necessarily represent nationhood? I don't necessarily think so. But if you sort of look at nation building and how language is tied together, I mean, you have, especially when you have countries like the Philippines or Indonesia, you know, which are archipelagos, or you have a country like Malaysia that is like kind of like split in the middle between, that split by the South China Sea. I understand why language becomes something that sort of binds or unifies a nation. But the cause and effect of that is that, like, for example, when you look at Sabah and Sarawak, you know, when we had the National Cultural Policy in 1971, what happened was that Sabah and Sarawak were meant to have vernacular schools. Sarawak was meant to have Iban vernacular schools, and Sabah was meant to have Badazan vernacular schools, but we were denied that. And our Dayak languages were actually kind of just, like, suppressed, not only in schools, but on the radio as well. And then we were forced to sort of speak in Bahasa Malaysia. And how that's affected my generation of East Malaysians is that a lot of us cannot speak our indigenous language. So language has been a way, not even just, like, externally or internationally, to sort of homogenize, you know, like, or, I don't know, to other, I guess, people. But it happens within our country as well. So even if you look at Malaysia, you know, a few years ago, what was the case was that, I'm not exactly sure, but I think about if the film was not in 70 or 85% Bahasa Malaysia, the film would get taxed.
So Nadira, are terms like foreign cinema or international cinema still relevant in today's world?
I think people are smarter now to kind of realize that it's a little bit ridiculous because, okay, when we talk about premieres for films, right? You have the world premiere and then you have the international premiere. And a world premiere means that you premiere to the world. Nobody has ever seen it before, whether you're premiering your own country or you're premiering it abroad. And to have an international premiere means that you are premiering it from outside of your country. But when you go to an international film festival, then it becomes interesting because, you know, it's the idea of world cinema, like world music. So anything that is not, I guess, standard Western, you know, or in the English language just becomes world. And then you can sort of see how that really just subscribes to the worldview of, I suppose, Westerners really. So I do think it's kind of like an archaic term in itself. Because the thing is, like with film festivals, you know, and I'm programming one right now for Urbanscapes called Tayangan BMW Shorties. So, I mean, we're screening mostly Southeast Asian films. And so if we were potentially to have, you know, an American or European film, you know, do we call it international? And then when you go to the cinemas, do you call an American film an international film or a foreign film or a world film? You don't. You just call them films. And that also speaks to, I guess, like who is still the status quo in the world. And I think that especially now with the internet and as people are becoming more politically correct or privy to, you know, these double standards, maybe it is a good time to start talking about, like, how do we categorize films and how do we review them? And does language actually really matter, you know, and being able to sort of like identify yourself, you know, as a citizen of your country.
And how do you see this question of language playing out here in Malaysia when we try to define what a Malaysian film is?
So what makes a Malaysian film? I think when I talk to my friends from New Zealand or Canada, the Indigenous filmmakers, they're very clear on what is an Indigenous film and what is not. An Indigenous film is a film made by an Indigenous person. And I think likewise, when it comes to Malaysia, you know, like if the film is made by a Malaysian, preferably in Malaysia, not discounting films made by Malaysians, you know, that are shot outside of Malaysia, but I think it should qualify as a Malaysian film. You know, like citizenship is a privilege for many, you know, so I don't think that people should have to work too hard to qualify themselves as Malaysian just based on their ethnic group or based on their languages. All these are valid, and our multi-ethnicity is what makes our countries great. But when the Oscars tries to kind of put this, you know, criteria on us, on the rest of the world, whereby a foreign film has to be in their perceived, you know, foreign or national language, I think that's quite unfair, because you're also kind of like discounting the diaspora, you're discounting the refugees. And that to me is not cinema, because it curtails diversity. But that's also kind of why I don't think as the Oscars as the pinnacle of filmmaking. I don't see why Hollywood should be the ones to validate, you know, whether or not the rest of the world qualifies to make good films or not.
That was independent filmmaker Nadira Ilana. And I do agree, though, that actually a big part of the problem is that we, so many of us still depend on Hollywood and the United States to define. I mean, even
as a
when
benchmark,
you,
right?
Yeah, even when you look at their criteria, the other is defined by United States being the one against which you're defined. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially why, because they don't have a history of colonization the way the rest of us do. So they don't stop to think that the rest of us may speak English because that's just how our history is.
Mm. And, you know, I think that, and I absolutely agree with Nadira, the Oscars is not the pinnacle of filmmaking in any way, shape or form. But I also do feel that the Academy, because it's based in America and the Oscars is their shindig, they're allowed to make whatever rules that they want.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it just depends whether filmmakers around the world feel that that is the validation that they require. Or not.
Unfortunately, it has become that, hasn't it? I mean, even Malaysians, you know, we're like, we're going to get nominated for an Oscar. You know, let's put this in for an Oscar. Mm. And it's like the pinnacle for them to be actually acknowledged by the Academy.
And it still helps in terms of commercial success, right?
Of course.
To slap a tag of being nominated for an Oscar. It really helps open up doors for you. So we can't ignore that. It is an important milestone for many filmmakers. Mm-hmm. And I must say, it would be very disappointing to be excluded based on rules that seem fairly arbitrary, I suppose.
Mm. Well, we don't have that problem in Malaysia anymore, thanks to the issue which happened a couple of years ago with Jagat, right? So at the moment, what are the rules? If you want to be in the running for the best film at the Malaysian Film Awards, you just need to make a Malaysian film.
Yes, it
correct?
Sounds like it.
So we're asking you on Twitter whether must a film contain Bahasa Malaysia for it to be considered a Malaysian movie? And 79% of you say no, it doesn't require it, although 21% of you do say yes. We've had a couple of comments that I'd like to share with you. Admiral Collins tweeted in to say that I remember back when FFM 28 needed to introduce separate award categories for Film Terbaik and Film Nasional Terbaik for a year, just because Jagat was a well-crafted adapted film, and Munafik happened to be in the Malay language. And you know what? I love that that precedent was set because it meant that progress was made, right? And we also had a comment that came in via WhatsApp from Jay Lu. As long as the movie is made by a Malaysian company in Malaysia, then it should be considered Malaysian. But if it's all in Bahasa, then it's automatically Malaysian. Hmm. Okay, what if this Malaysian company is made up of foreigners?
Exactly.
Or what if a team made up entirely of non-Malaysians made a Bahasa Malaysia film?
Completely in Bahasa
Malaysia,
right?
Completely in Bahasa Malaysia, yeah.
We don't have answers to any of these questions, do we? I love the fact we're just asking them because we can.
But it's a tricky one because in some countries, actually, language is very strongly identified with national identity. If you take a place like Thailand or even Indonesia, a national film would be in Thai or in Bahasa Indonesia, most likely, because everyone speaks those languages.
And I often would also maybe draw the parallels to a country like India, for example, 800 languages. A national language doesn't, a film in the national language doesn't necessarily translate or isn't exactly kind of applicable to half the country sometimes, even more. So what would you, and they do speak English widely then?
I actually read a couple of critics talking about this, about the Lionheart issue in the Oscars, and saying how even in India, a lot of people speak English. So what if someone in India made a predominantly English language film? Mm-hmm. Or perhaps they were speaking in, like Lionheart being in Nigerian English, some localized version of English. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't qualify, right?
It would, and it's sad if it was a topic that is so essentially Indian, for example, right? Yeah. Something that really touched the heart of Indians, if you want to go that way. But then it's disqualified because of the language, which is...
What if somebody here made a movie in Manglish about nasi lemak, for example? That's quintessentially Malaysian. Food
I
wars
would
aside.
Watch the heck out of a movie about nasi lemak.
Right. But then the Oscars, if the Oscars turned it down because it's not Malaysian enough, my goodness, there would be a riot.
That would really bring us together.
Right.
It's always when somebody is trying to oppose us, that's when we band together.
Absolutely. It seems to me like this is actually fairly easily resolved on the Academy's part. All they need to do is remove the language caveat, right? Because at the end of the day, they're still saying it can only be one entry from one country.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, the gatekeepers are the countries themselves.
Exactly. So they decide.
And who is the Academy to decide what language represents each country in all its diversity and complexity?
And I can see where they're coming from, right? So if they want to keep going down that path, what they are saying is, we're the Academy Awards. We're going to give out awards to who we think is, who makes amazing movies in the English language. Anyone who lives outside of America, by the way, if you've got a great movie, send it to us. That's it. That's all that you need to say. Doesn't matter the language.
Yeah, and it's still only one movie. So you don't have to worry about, say, places like the UK or Australia dominating the stakes or anything like that, because still, at the end of the day, everyone has one chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, maybe somebody's listening.
On that note, hasn't M for Malaysia been included in the running for next year's?
M for Malaysia apparently is facing a similar challenge because a lot of it is not, a lot of it's in English. Yeah, so I'm not quite sure exactly what the status is, but it is sort of being pegged as our entry.
Well, no, it has been submitted as our entry. It just hasn't been nominated because it's only a small number of nominees, but then loads of submissions from around the world. So likewise, I think the Upin and Ipin animated movie has also been submitted as Malaysia's entry.
I didn't know about Upin and Ipin.
Yeah, for consideration for the animated category.
Well, that won't lose in the language category then.
No, it will not.
Clever of us then. Well, I mean, you can always continue to share your thoughts. Do tweet us at BFM Radio. Do send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899 and let us know your thoughts. But I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show. You can always look us up on Facebook at BFM The Bigger Picture if you want to drop us a message. And if you miss any part of the show, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest or look us up on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m., I'll be speaking to Emeritus Professor Dato' Dr. Shad Salim Faruqi and Surendra Anand And we're going to, it's our Law and Behold series, of course. And tomorrow and today we're going to be looking at SOSMA, whether it is constitutional or not. Ooh. Yeah, that's a just big one coming up. So if you miss any part of the show, again, you can download the podcast. But for now, we're going to leave you with Words by Bee Gees. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.